acted in such a manner as to cause people to be disgusted with the expression of religion, according to Matthew 23. Now, a hypocrite is one who wears a false face and deliberately pretends that something on the outside that is not on the inside. My brothers and sisters, in the same way today, if there's a sham and pretense in our profession of love and loyalty, you can be sure that they will be discerned by those whom we seek to minister. But not only that, Christ was angry when innocent was seduced into sinning, according to Matthew 18:6. And my brothers and sisters, the Christ of yesterday, I told you, is the same today as he was then. In other words, the same thing that made him angry then, it makes him angry even unto the day. Notice the pattern of the anger of Christ. Now, Christ was never angry with the wrongdoings that were done to him, but he was angry with these grafters who polluted the house of God. He was angry with hypocrites who made folk disgusted with religion. He was angry with the oppressors of the weak and those who seduced the innocent into sin. My brothers and sisters, I need to tell us that the anger of Christ was the other side of his love, because he loved the oppressed, but he was angry with the oppressors. He loved the people, but he was angry with the hypocrites. He loved the innocent, but he was angry with the seducers. Christ's anger, I tell you, was the other side of his love, because the good news this morning is Christ is always eager to forgive when the guilty are willing to repent and turn unto him. Well, finally, I told you I wouldn't be long. While the cleansing of the temple, Christ announced his ambition. My brothers and sisters, God's temple was being misused by people who had turned it into a marketplace.
It is our hope that you were blessed by Pastor's message. Join us at our regular service weekly at 808 Anacoco Street, Leesville, Louisiana, or phone us at 337-238-4954. May God bless and keep you until we meet again.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh now as we turn our attention to your word. Remind us afresh of who we are and whose we are and the power you've given us as believers. And so we thank you in advance for what you shall do through the text, tailoring it so that every hearer's heart might not only hear but heed what you have to say. And we give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10. I want to commence reading at verse 1. Our focus is going to be from verse 1 through 17, but I'm reading simply verse 1 in your hearing. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 says, And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. It is clear that there is a call to conquer, and this is the Master's commission. But I just want to focus on the fact that we are commissioned to conquer. Commissioned to conquer. I believe it'll change the mindset of the believer when he or she recognizes through the Word of God, through the power of the Holy Ghost, that believers laid out in Mark 16 will reveal to us that as believers, we are given power to conquer every act and every attempt of the enemy to tear down and destroy the kingdom of God. When we recognize that we don't have to wait on others to do what God has commissioned us to do, we will see many things in our lives change. There are some things that I want to just note just in case I don't get to them because time may run out on us, because there's much to say about this matter of being commissioned to conquer. First of all, verse 1 through 4 deals with the calling. The calling. And then verses 5 through 16 deals with the commission. The commission. And then verse 17 itself deals with the conflict. And I need you to know that if you are called, then you certainly need to take that step further and be commissioned, because after the commission comes the conflict. And so many wonder why they go through what they go through, deal with what they deal with. Well, I need you to know that you are commissioned to handle conflict. Somebody didn't hear me today. I say you're commissioned to handle conflict. And the problem is, when you don't know that you're able to handle the conflict you're dealing with, you've given the enemy the advantage. So let's go back to the calling, because there is the nature of the call. And I want you to see this twofold power. First is to overcome unclean spirits. That's demonic spirits. That's spirits that hinder the well-being, the free-flowing action of the believer as relates to the Word of God. You as a believer, you as Jesus commissioned his 12 disciples, were given these different powers to overcome the realities of what we as believers face today. I thank God for the example that he gives us in this word that Jesus shares with his disciples, because what you need to recognize and understand is as he commissions them, again, as we are his disciples, as we are the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, as believers, what he has shown and shared through them is also a reality that faces us. And just as they were victorious in the things of God through the power of God, so are we victorious in the things of God through the power of God. So when you look at the fact that verse 1 tells us they had the power to overcome unclean spirits. Now, here is where we begin, because if you're really going to do anything great for the kingdom, it must begin in the spirit realm. You see, everything that affects us in the natural, in the flesh, has to do with a spiritual connection or contact. And so if you recognize that this is a spiritual contact or connection, that it needs to be either divinely inspired of God, or God has given you the power to overstep the power of the devil. Now know this, you're going to be influenced and affected by one or the other. But the effect that you have has to do with your connection with God. See, you can't stop the devil many times from making an attack, but you can stop the effects of his attack by, one, taking the authority over him that the Lord God through Jesus Christ has given to us in the power of the Holy Ghost. So second thing he says is overcome all sickness and disease. Look again, now this is important, because it's important. The Bible says all manner of sickness and all manner
of disease. And why is it then that we're having trouble dealing with some sickness and some disease? See, we can handle some of it, but we're not handling all of it. And so when we recognize that we're commissioned for the conflict that comes as a believer, all of these things came against the believers. But listen to this. Jesus commissioned them to handle it. You see, one of the things that the devil wants you to know is that he's got some power. But what you need to let the devil know is God's got all power. And all power certainly trumps some power. And the believer has to walk in that certainty, in that confidence, in the reality of knowing that the power of God that's been given to him or her is more potent than the power of the enemy. And if the enemy can keep you from knowing what you got, see, a whole lot of you got stuff and don't even know how to work what you got. Don't know how to use what you've got. Don't know how to counterattack when the enemy has launched his attack against you. Yeah, he may hit you. Yeah, he may knock you down. But if he don't take you out, it's your chance to take him out. Listen at this. When you look at that and see the calling is important, first of all, you see the names of the 12 disciples. Verses 2 through 4, I'll give you that. But as I read off their names, I'm going to also associate the meaning of their names. The first one was Simon Peter, known as a rock. The second was Andrew, known as manly, strong, and brave. The third one was James, known as a deceiver. John, the Lord is gracious. Philip, lover of horses. Bartholomew, a Pharaoh. Thomas, a twin. Matthew, a gift of the Lord. James, son of Alphaeus. Thaddeus, praise. Simon, hearing. And Judas, let God be praised. Now, I thought that was interesting, because when you recognize that even if you're dealing with someone that is demonically possessed, even when you're dealing with someone who does not act right or operate in the things of God and call themselves members of the family of God, God is still going to get his praise one way or the other. And so when you look at this, you recognize that verse 5 then begins to deal with the commission. And I want to walk through this because he tells us the purpose of the commission. And 5 and 6 says, literally, to go to the lost sinner. And we have that same call upon our lives today. Verse 7 deals with preaching. Preaching repentance and Christ, listen at this, Christ's return. When he talks about the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he's letting us know that we've got to preach to the people, that we've got to repent, because tomorrow is not on our side. Today is what we have, and the kingdom of Christ is at hand now. Your opportunity for salvation is now. Jesus is on his way back. That's why we must get in a hurry. Work while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Verse 8 deals with power, deals with healing and evangelizing. Give of yourself time and energy freely. Hold nothing back from the Lord. This is important, because when you look at verse 8, it simply says this: heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Wait. Raise the dead? Look at here. Cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely. Don't hold back nothing. When God has anointed you and commissioned you to do what he said do, do it. You see, what happens is we try to figure out whether or not we can do it when he's already commissioned us to do it. So it's simply a matter of operating in what we've been freely given. See, a whole lot of believers don't understand this, don't recognize this. Now, there's a difference between, again, members and church folk. This is not given to church folk. This is given to believers. This is for the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is for those who are open to receiving what Jesus has given and commanded and commissioned for us to operate in. You see, what happens is when you recognize you have been commissioned, it means you're certified to do business for the Savior. And if you're certified to do business for the Savior, then you don't have any issues with the business he calls you to do. In other words, it's not on you how the thing comes out. You are simply there to represent him who has given you authority to operate on behalf of him. listen at this, to do what he would have done had he been in this position or place physically. And so that's the whole reason for commissioning them. After he sent them, he sent them. Listen to what he didn't do. He didn't commission them and say, now let's just stay together. Y'all didn't get that, did you? He didn't commission them and keep them clustered together. He commissioned them and released them, sent them forth. That means when you get your stuff together here, you are to leave outside these doors and go back wherever your place of habitation, your place of dwelling, your place of working, your place is, and operate as if Jesus were there himself. Now look again at what verse 8 says again, to be able to do. Heal the sick. That's a part of the commission. Well, you say, well, I'm not a healer. No, you're not. He is. You just commissioned to do what he told you to do. And so when you operate in that, you go in there, and that's the purpose that you operate in. Yeah, there are a lot of variables, but all of that's not even the point right now. Here is the point. If he says go heal, then that means you need to simply go and what?
Heal.
If you're commissioned to do so. Listen again to what he says. Cleanse the lepers. Now, while this may be more pragmatic toward the time of Jesus' day, the likeness of that same reality is present in our day and time now. One of the most unlikeliest ills of our day is AIDS. I mean, this has the effect, just like leprosy did, as it was a degenerative kind of disease that just continued as it went to tear down the very essence of the human body, the same way AIDS does today. He says, listen, in other words, if Jesus says heal all manner of sickness and heal all manner of disease, then obviously there was nothing stronger than the healing power of Jesus Christ. See, but we act like now the devil has developed something greater than the power of Jesus Christ. The devil is a liar. And you got to understand he's also a deceiver too. So he'll try and make you think that he's come up with something that is more powerful and potent than the power of God. And he is a liar. Listen at this again. He moves further and he shows you this. Even if sickness and even if death came, he say, don't you worry. Just raise the dead. Y'all don't hear me here. So let's say the devil wins and sickness comes to death. And he said, well, I couldn't heal him. Well, maybe God wanted to set you up for a greater miracle. How many of you know miracles are still happening today? God is still raising the dead today. People have talked about crossing over and coming back, and doctors have proven people have gone out, hearts stopped beating, technically were dead. God still revived, brought back to life. He's still doing it. It may not be in all of the conventional ways that we know, but God is still doing what he's been doing all the time. So if the healing doesn't come right now, maybe there's another level of experience God wants you to have. And I can promise you, when you reach that level, that's a whole nother level. Some of us are more quick to call in the coroner than the clergy. Y'all didn't catch that. I know you didn't. In other words, before you even give God a chance to bring back to life, before you give God a chance to resurrect that life, before you give God a chance to bring the dead back, you're calling the coroner in before calling the clergy. I'll move on because y'all don't want to hear truth today. It says, cast out devils. That means those demonic powers and authorities that operate out of authority. Listen, and out of commission and out of their given a privilege, you have the power to exit them out. You see, the devil really doesn't have power nor permission to trespass against you, to enter into you without your permission. And so when you discover he has entered into someone, he has come into a place that he has not been authorized to come into, listen, he just needs to know you know he ought not be there, and you've got the power to put him out. Let's say you got a rent house and there's a person in your rent house, and even though the house is not, he's not paying rent. Didn't sign no contract with you. You can get the police, that's the authority, and in our time, it is the power of the Holy Ghost as it relates to believers, to exit that person out of your rent house, no questions asked. They can't stay, I don't care what they say, they can't stay there without your permission or approval. The same way it works in this flesh, in this body. The enemy tries to invade, comes in, or any believer, as a matter of fact, you have the authority, if he has not granted, been granted permission or approval, to enter, to exit him out of there. You ain't got to let him wreak havoc and wreck your life. And whine and cry and talk about why is this happening? It's happening to you because you're demon possessed. Demons do what demons do, and that's destroy you. They ain't there to fellowship with you. They ain't there to make you happy. They ain't there to build you up. They ain't there to bless you. They're there to destroy you. And unless you deal with that, destruction is certainly coming. I want you to look again at something else. Deals with verse 9 and 10, deals with provisions. And it means to step out on faith, expect God to meet your needs. And he's letting them know, when you go out, expect when you operate in the things of God, that God's going to have somebody somewhere to take care of what you have need of as you take care of what God's called you to do. And so if you begin to recognize, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. In other words, you ain't got to have a big bank account to do ministry work for God. If God has called you to do ministry, then he's already got the people who has the funds to take care of your ministry. Listen, if you're meeting needs, I got news for you. God's got some folk who will supply your needs as you meet needs. That's how God operates. Look at verse 10. It says, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Do you know so many of us take so much time preparing to go minister that we spend very little time ministering? My time is more valuable getting out there where God wants me to get out there rather than staying trying to get everything together so that when I go, I'll have everything I need. No, I need to know that if I go, God will provide everything that I need when I need it. I'm leaving in the summer, but I'm packing two coats for the winter. All that stuff I'm carrying, holding me back, slowing me down. I need to get what I need for now and get to moving in the things of God. And as the need come up, God will take care of every provision I have need of, that you have need of. That's why if you've been called and commissioned, you need to know it's God's desire and design to provide for you whatever you need to do the work he's called you for. Listen again, I want you to see something else. When you know that, then you'll have peace according to verse 11 through 13. Because the Bible says, and into whatever and whatsoever city or town you go, ye enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. Now here's what you need to know. Everybody is not worthy of your ministry. Look at what the scripture says. It says, and into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is what? Worthy. And there abide till ye go thence. In other words, when you pray about and you inquire who's worthy to support this ministry, to do it, because there's always going to be a blessing for the one who supports the work of God. And listen at this. You know, that may be some folk that will support the work of God quicker than folk who should support the work of God. But listen at this. It should not be given, because you're going to bless the people who open up their doors, who open up their finances, who open up their levels of support to help. You're going to bless. They ain't doing it for nothing. Whether they know it or not, they're going to be blessed by you. But the peace is going to be in knowing that you are receiving what God needs you to have to do what you need to do. But at the same time, you're blessing those who were worthy enough to see what you were doing as worthy to support. And peace goes both ways, in the home of those who give it and to those who receive it. And when you look at this, you look again in verse 12, it says, and when ye come into an house, salute it. Verse 13 says, and if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. See, in other words, you have the authority to grant the peace of God upon a household, upon a person, upon a supporter. May God's peace be upon your life. But if they treat you unlike they ought to treat you, if they disrespect the gift that God has given you, you have the same authority just as you give it to take it back from them. Here's what you need to know, that what is upon you is a blessing to those who receive you. But if they don't receive you, they don't have a right to receive the blessing that comes with you. Listen to this. And then you will note verse 14 and 15 deals not only with 11 through 13 deals with peace, but then verse 14 and 15 deals with the punishment. Because look at what it says. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust off your feet. Listen at this, verse 15. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Now, those of you know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, how God destroyed the whole city and everyone in that city because the sin that God so deeply hated. And so if he says that they have a better chance in judgment of surviving than these people, man, that's a mighty strong punishment. See, people don't realize when they turn you down, and this is what you need to realize, they really aren't turning you down. They're turning God down. When folk disrespect you, they really aren't disrespecting you. They're disrespecting God. And when they do these things, what they don't know is it's coming up again. And when it comes up again, the next time it's going to be in judgment. And God himself is going to be the one doing the judgment and the punishment. And so that's why you don't have to worry. Put it in God's hand. That's why you shake the dust from your feet, because you have no part of that. You've warned them. You've given them opportunity, and you are releasing yourself from that. In other words, you're saying like grandmama used to say, I'm putting you in the hands of the Lord. And listen at this. And so then we move, if you will, to verse 16, because here is where the persecution comes. Christians are sent as sheep among wolves. Now listen to this. It says, behold, focus in now. I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Look at the contrast that we have in this verse. Lambs who have a meek, gentle and tender spirit among wolves who are ravenous, who are hateful, if you will, who are bloodthirsty animals, who desire to destroy, and they hunt in packs. They coordinate their efforts, and he says that he's going to send you as sheep in the midst of wolves. Wolves know how to circle in packs, work together, and one try to push you back, and they circle you and get you in the corner to get you for their attack, and they try and get your attention off of the one while the other sneak attacks you. You got to realize God knows why he's put you where he's put you, and you got to be seriously sane and sober enough to know that he knew what he was doing when he was doing it. And yet in the midst of doing that, he knows there is a purpose for that. Listen again. Now he moves from sheeps and wolves to serpents now. Listen at this. And doves. He says, be ye therefore wise as serpents. Now serpents usually are on the ground or in low places, though they can climb and reach up high places. That's why you can find some snakes in some high places. But generally, they're on the ground. They're under stuff. They're hiding. Listen at this. Because snakes generally have a disadvantage because they are on the ground, they have to be wise when they plan their attack. Because one of the things, listen at this, that you'll note about a snake, if a snake is uncoiled and stretched out, he's not in what's called striking position. So usually you can take a snake, overcome a snake, if the snake is stretched out. But if he ever gets in a coiled position, he's got to wait there till